Good morning, and you're listening to KBOO 90.7 in Portland. My name is Trillium Shannon, and I'm sitting in for talk radio today and very excited to have a studio full of guests here to talk to you about their upcoming report back, which will be tomorrow, August 28th at Sisters of the Road Cafe. And this is a report back talking about Cascadia to Detroit. A lot of people went to the U.S. Social Forum in Detroit in June, and they got some things to share with you. So we're going to give you a little taste this morning on KBOO, but if you want to find out more, you can come to Sisters of the Road Cafe tomorrow at 7 p.m. That's at 133 Northwest 6th. And, well, let's get started. I want to go around and have my guests introduce themselves this morning. Let us know your names and a little bit about yourselves.
I'm Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio. And I'm one of the co-founders of Dignity Village. And I'm a homeless advocate. My group, Right to Survive, we go to the streets and talk to homeless people and bring their opinion and their voices to the radio on Right to Survive Radio.
My name is Amanda Eckerson, and I am part of the B Media Collective, which is part of the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee's sort of media outreach arm. And I was also one of the main organizers on the Cascadia Freedom Caravan, which actually took 26 people to Detroit this summer and was a really great experience.
Hi, I'm Nat Needham. I'm also part of the B Media Collective. I do video editing, and I like to go out and talk to people and try and find out what people are thinking on the streets and, share that with as many people as I can.
My name is Rio Collier, and I am also part of the B Media Collective. Also a student at Portland State University and with a few student groups there, one of which was also represented at the social forum, Students for Unity.
Hey, good morning. My name is Will Munger. I'm a producer for Right to Survive Radio, and I also work with a group called Reclaim, which is a local action group in the Take Back the Land movement, and we are really excited to be here among such powerhouses.
Hooray. And also present with us was Mike Crenshaw. And that song was recorded along with his wife, Jana, in Detroit. So thanks, Mike, for opening up the show. He was at a show last night that was actually also a benefit for PCASC, American Friends Service Committee. And the name of the song is Help Me. And so folks were out late last night, but came to the studio early this morning to share their experiences with you, KBOO listeners. And if you do have questions, comments, in a little while we'll open up the phone lines as well as be reaching out to one of our allies from Picture the Homeless in New York to get a little update about how they're doing since Detroit. 503-232-8818 is the number, but we're first going to get into what is the Cascadia Freedom Caravan? How did this all come about, and why did you guys go to Detroit? Yes, any of you.
Well, I think the idea for the Cascadia Freedom Caravan came about after talking to a whole bunch of different people that had expressed interest in getting out to Detroit, and I think a lot of us were figuring out how we could get a number of people together in, from Portland to Detroit. So we thought, like, the most logical way forward would be to find a bus, because a lot of people didn't want to fly or couldn't afford to. So we found our friend Rick Fellows up in Olympia, who has been running the Cuba Caravan and Solidarity Caravans down to Latin America. He provided us his school bus, and we were able to get the 25 or 26 people out to Detroit.
There was a baby, an 8-month-old baby in the belly.
Yeah. Excellent. And can you just provide a little bit of background for listeners about why it was so important for this crew from the Northwest to get to Detroit? What was going on in Detroit?
Well, in Detroit, there is the U.S. Social Forum as well as the Allied Media Conference. And the Allied Media Conference has actually been going on in Detroit for a number of years now. And this is one of the foremost gatherings of media makers in the United States. And a really interesting question that it revolves around is what does it mean to have community control over media? What does it mean to have media that is based not outside in an objective sense, but very much so within and supporting and growing and cultivating our ability to transform and catalyze fundamental change in our world? And a lot of the people that were involved in the Be Media Caravan and the Cascadia Freedom Caravan are involved in their local communities doing media. And so to go out to Detroit and meet people from all over the United States that were doing this was just an incredible experience. And you know, all of us really came back with a lot of inspiration and new ideas.
Yeah, a lot of the point was to share in the national conference with 20,000 people from all over the country that were meeting in this gigantic social justice conference that was the second ever to happen in history and is based on the World Social Forum. So we all wanted to participate in that national conversation. But what was most important to us was maintaining ties and connections amongst people in the Northwest, because that's where we live and that's where we're coming back to. So a lot of the inspiration and reason behind organizing a caravan was to link up local people from different organizations that didn't necessarily know each other. We had students, we had houseless activists, we had media activists, we had environmental activists, we had all sorts of different people. And we spent 5 days on a bus there, stayed together in a house there, met up with all the other people from the Northwest, and we're in continuing conversations there, and now we're back here. And so the point was to maintain those connections on a local level, participate on the national conversation, and bring it home, which is what we want to share with everyone tomorrow at the report back.
In addition to being the traveling there and staying together there, it was for at least a core group, I'd say 6 months of planning beforehand, and then all those relationships have maintained since then. And so it catalyzed a lot of collaboration and communicating within community organizers in Portland that were maybe aware of each other and working peripheral. But a lot of really strong relationships have been forged in Portland, I think, since this whole process began.
And I've really noticed that myself when I've been going to support different groups that I care about, that I'm seeing these people who I saw in Detroit together who traveled on that bus, and you're collaborating and working together. So as you're saying, it really did solidify some relationships and continue that growth. Today we're talking to members of the Cascadia Freedom Caravan, as well as members from Right to Survive, who actually flew to Detroit to the Allied Media Conference, met up with other people from the Northwest and people from around the country, including members of the Take Back the Land movement. And this is KBOO 90.7 in Portland. If you're listening on the web, it's KBOO.fm. I wanted to ask you guys about your forms of media activism. What do you do, and where can people find it? And is there material about Detroit that you all produced while you were there?
My form of activist is I go on Ground Zero in Portland. And I sleep and I reside with homeless people, and I go out and talk to them, and we see the problems that exist in the streets that normal people, well, let me say house people, don't see. And when we bring these occurrences, and when we bring these situations to the powers to be, the city council, they bobble their head and go, okay, and they don't do anything about it. So we formed a group called Right to Survive. And so we figured the best way we can bring it out to the public is not only have teach-ins, not only have take over land, but to bring it over the airwave and talk to people and interview people on the radio, so people, the listening audience, can hear the reality of what's happening in the streets. And going to Detroit, it even enlightened me even more that this problem just don't only exist in Portland or in Oregon, but all over the country. And seeing Detroit, how it went from a lavish city to a ghost town, it opened my eyes that it can happen anywhere in this country, and if we're not careful. And Portland, to me, is headed that way if we don't narrow the gap between social segregation, and that's the have-nots.
I want to have other folks hold your thought because we do have a special guest on the phone. Sophia Bryant from Picture the Homeless is going to join us. And she also is someone that members of Right to Survive met in Detroit as part of the convergence of different movements. And we want to get into that a little bit later about the PMAs, the People's Movement Assemblies. But Sophia, are you on the line?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ramadan Mubarak to all.
Ramadan Kareem, Sophia.
How's everybody today?
We are doing good.
We're doing well.
And even better to hear your voice, Sophia. We were just talking about the powerful impact that communities coming together in Detroit, Michigan at the second ever U.S. Social Forum had. And we wanted to hear about your experience a little bit and what's been happening since we met you in Detroit.
Yes, I heard a little bit at the end. I think that's Brother Ibrahim.
Yes.
You got it.
Hello, my brother. Well, thank you, number one, for having me on representing Picture the Homeless. We really appreciate every avenue that we can get out the word. As far as U.S. Social Forum, that was my first social forum, but our organization had attended the first one in Atlanta, and I was really happy to be there, and especially to meet you. You guys are doing such a wonderful job in Cortland, and to meet all the other people from different sectors of life and organizations who are working on similar things and working on so many different social justice issues, it was really just almost overwhelming for me. I mean, I had so much joy and I was so excited, and it just totally just made me feel like there is some hope for the future. That, you know, this is a movement, you know, that was a movement builder, and this is just the beginning. And as we always say, there's a short period, there is a really small window of opportunity here, and now is the time, and people around the world are feeling it, and the thing is to connect it around the world. And from Detroit, hopefully, God willing, we'll be able to go to the U.S., to the World Social Forum, which is coming up possibly in January. They're still working on an exact date in Senegal, Africa. Yes, and everything I just heard the brother saying about how, you know, to see Detroit go from, you know, this really vibrant place and people had jobs and housing to go to, you know, I mean, it was unbelievable to see the center of the city, you know, these big lavish buildings where things are happening, and then right around the corner, you have all these buildings that are empty, and if you go down a little further, which people were telling us about 6 miles, 7 miles, there's just blocks and blocks of abandoned buildings. And there are so many people who are in need of housing with the escalation of homelessness in this country at this time. And since the Great Depression, we haven't had this many people homeless. There's more people homeless now than ever. And this is such an important issue. I can't believe that it's really not on the forefront of, you know, the administration's agenda. Well, it's going to take grassroots movements, people like us, and to keep getting the word out. And a forum like this is what it takes in order to educate the public and to get the word out, because, you know, the word homeless has a stigma attached to it anyway. Because when people think of homeless in this country, they think of people that they see on the sidewalks, in the street, in the subway. You know, they don't understand that they're just a step away from being homeless, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it can happen to anybody due to so many reasons: loss of a job, a spouse, the head of the household, illness, fire. I mean, the list goes on and on why people become homeless. I myself was homeless, and really I'm sort of in between at this point. And so we're, you know, one of our things is you have empty buildings. On the other hand, you have homeless people. Let's put them together. Like you guys are doing, you know, we're doing the same thing. We're trying to put people into housing, and that's one thing that I myself am approaching an occupation.
Well, and we met you in Detroit, and you told us about how You saw a mirror when you talked with Ibrahim, who's here now. You saw a mirror when you looked at him and how similar our struggles are. Can you tell people just a little tidbits about Picture the Homeless? There's so much to say for an organization that's been leading for over a decade, and a little bit today on the phone.
Sure. Well, my name is Sophia Bryant, and I'm a member of Picture the Homeless, and I'm leader on our housing campaign, as well as I'm part of the media team. Picture the Homeless is founded and led by homeless New Yorkers on the principle of organizing to be effective voice for systematic change. We feel that housing is a human right, and it is under the UN Charter. We're made up of homeless from previously homeless and presently homeless, shelter and street homeless. We're multiracial, bilingual, and Bitchin' the Homeless feels that, you know, in order to make any real permanent change, there has to be direct action. So we do demonstrations, marches, sleepouts, takeovers, occupations, and civil disobedience when necessary. We just, the last couple of days, or actually the 25th to the 24th, we had a big action. It was a walking tour of vacant buildings and lots, press conference and sleep out in the district of our New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. And this was to bring attention to and to advance our city legislation. We drafted a bill, and we called it Housing Not Warehousing. And it got a name, I got a number, actually, and it's in the city council, but it had been stalled, and it seems that they don't really want to push this through. So we, and this bill actually, it requires the city to conduct the annual census of all vacant buildings and lots, so this information can always be readily available to the public. We feel that, you know, empty buildings should not be sitting for the years that we know, for 10 to 20 years. This is, you know, this should be something that should be, this should be really outlawed. When you have the population of homeless people that we have on the streets, it just totally makes no sense. And all the people that are in shelters. And New York City, we know there are nearly 40,000 people in shelters right now. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, a large part of this are women and children. And we spend over $750 million yearly to house people in shelters, which really makes no sense when you could take half of that money and you could actually put people into permanent, affordable housing. I mean, there are people in a shelter from, like I said, every walk of life, you wouldn't believe, you know, the type of backgrounds they come from and the talents and the skills that they have. People would be willing to try and get these buildings back online, work on a building, an apartment that they're going to live in. You know, there's all types of ways to do this and put these back online. And we're trying to move the city to change their policy, and especially a policy on bringing homeless people to the table. You know, you're making policy and plans for people that you don't even relate to, and you don't want to sit down with them, bring them to the table to hear what they have to say. We have a lot of good ideas. So that's one campaign that we're working on, which, you know, that's like our main campaign. But another one is civil rights. And we, our civil rights campaign is led by homeless who refuse to stay in shelters and who do stay in public spaces. And it's their constitutional right that they should not be abused by the police. So we fight to end selective enforcement of quality of life regulations. But whose quality of life is being improved by moving them from public spaces? We fight the lack of legal representation for the homeless because they become pressured to plead guilty instead of exercising their rights to trial. Right to vote is another one, including those in city jails. Disorderly conduct is a tool that they readily use to criminalize and profile and harass the homeless. They arrest or give them tickets, and we demand that this be recognized as a non-arrestable offense due to the vagueness of the unconstitutionality of it, and NYPD should be required to specify alleged violations. So we're currently working on gathering surveys and testimonies from the homeless New Yorkers to build this campaign and possibly file a lawsuit against NYPD. But we also have Know Your Rights workshops and Cop Watch, where we film the police, you know, when they're harassing and profiling. So these are some of the things that we're doing, but also can be done in other neighborhoods. And one thing that's very important for any campaign is to always have a media team. You can start with a cell phone. You can start with a small video camera. You know, well, we have our own media team that, you know, we've worked on for some years, you know. And these are the things because, you know, when we talk about this, when we have press conferences or we go through mainstream media, you know, they sometimes put their own spin on it. So it's good that you have your own media team.
That is right, Sophia. I want to let our listeners know they're listening to Sophia Bryan, who's joining us from New York. Speaking of your media team and everything, we're gonna be bringing it back to the studio here, Sophia, and want to thank you for being here. But can you please let everybody know where they can find out more about Picture the Homeless and be in support? Because as you're speaking, again, that mirror is happening. The numbers are different in New York, but really our communities are in the same struggle, and it really puts that exclamation point. So how can people follow Picture the Homeless and really learn from your excellent organizing campaigns and share?
Well, anything you want to know about Picture the Homeless is on our website, and our website is picturethehomeless.org.
All right, picturethehomeless.org.
.org. We are in Bronx, New York.
All right, well, we will be keeping an eye on what's happening in New York. Definitely also let us know as things unfold there because, again, we are in the same movement. We are one. We're so happy you joined us on the air today, Sophia.
And they can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, YouTube as well. And you can see all of our videos. And it's so nice to speak with you, brothers and sisters, today. And I hope that the public has learned something from all of us. And main thing is that if you see these actions going on in your community, it does affect you down the line, and you should try and be a part of this, you know, in some way. Even if it's just making phone calls, letter writing, you know what I'm saying? It's very important. People get involved.
Thank you, Sophia. We'll talk to you
soon. You're welcome.
Assalamu
alaikum to everybody. Have a blessed day.
Walaikum assalam.
Salam. All right, and that was Sophia Bryant joining us from New York City. Picture the Homeless, one of the organizations that members from the Cascadia Freedom Caravan had an opportunity to talk with and learn from, and we're bringing it back to Portland. I want to actually return to some of the media stuff we were talking about, but I want to talk about bringing it back to Portland as well. How do you do that? Go to a large convergence of over 20,000 of the most amazing social justice activists in the country and internationally, and then bring that energy back. What are you guys doing? And
well, I think that the speaking to that idea of a mirror, that was only one example of the myriad examples. You know, with 20,000 people and people from all over the country and the world coming together. A lot of it was about sharing each other's struggles and celebrating together. And so it was so amazing to just see that what the things that you were working on and the obstacles you were trying to overcome, both in your organizing strategy and in like the wider social spectrum, were being tackled by the same people across the world over, you know, and that really put a lot of things into perspective. And then, you know, everyone got to leave from Detroit and go back to where they live and go back to their own communities and bring all of that inspiration and that experience and new organizing strategies and ideas back to their home community and put that into place where they are.
But that's hard, figuring out exactly how to do it. I mean, because the social forum was such an explosion on many levels of, whoa, there's 1,000 workshops. There are there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people with great big ideas and like 2 hours to talk about it in each workshop. So it was inspiring but also maddening on some level to think about how to synthesize any of that, which is actually I think what was one of the grounding points of having the caravan is that we were all together and we knew we'd all see each other again so we could talk as we went. But one thing we did do was try, at least, to process it as we went. That was one of the goals. It was a big one, specifically with the media stuff. So on our way there, and while we were there, we did try to put out videos of places we went along the way or thoughts that we had. And that helped. That's part of it, is doing something in the immediate with the information you have just to get it out there. And I know Right to Survive came up with a really good audio CD that, you know, they're like trinkets that we have with us that we can share. B Media's got a number of videos on our website. And a lot of that is what we're going to share at the report back. And I actually think that is another concrete thing that we can do to bring perspective to it all, is to reconvene and share the stories. And particularly in our situation, we didn't want to just talk about a lot of stuff. We wanted to show it. So it's going to be a multimedia thing. We're going to have the audio playing. We're going to have the videos playing. We're going to have the photos there. And we're going to have the people there too, so that people can experience it and talk about it. Because it's not a thing you can control. It's really more about the ripples. So it's the conversations and stuff that I think are one of the most effective ways.
You're listening to KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm talking to members of the Cascadia Freedom Caravan, and you can also talk to members of the Cascadia Freedom Caravan tomorrow, August 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. There's a report back from the U.S. Social Forum. 133 Northwest 6th at Sisters of the Road Cafe, and this is where you can experience that multimedia sensory experience and almost feel like you too went to Detroit. So that'll be tomorrow, and it's pretty exciting to hear that it's not just going to be a bunch of people standing up and talking, though we love to listen to people stand up and talk, but that really sensory experience that you're providing, and I've seen some of B Media's work. I really highly recommend it for everyone listening out there. So that's going to be happening tomorrow. Will, you were going to say something.
Well, there was kind of an experiment that happened within the social forum process, and this was the People's Movement Assembly. And in Portland, we did have a People's Movement Assembly here. It was actually one of the better organized and best attended of around the country. And this included a huge array of groups that may not really have worked together before. We had groups like BARC that does forest preservation work. We had groups like Jobs with Justice. We had immigrant rights groups. We had houseless and homeless advocacy groups. And this question that we grappled with was, how do we come together around different issues? How do we move beyond kind of single issue activism and start to be able to make decisions as a community around issues that affect us as a community? And what we're really seeing is the economic and ecological crisis kind of focusing our energy on having to answer these questions, because they're not separate from each other anymore. And this is what we really learned in Detroit, is that you can't have a system of industrial production, you know, like the Ford Rouge plant right next to a neighborhood and not expect there to be astronomical cancer rates. Similarly, when you're offshoring that plant 20 years later after a worker rebellion, you're going to see those jobs lost. So you can't answer those questions separately of each other. You have to be able to figure out a way, how do you reimagine your food system? How do you reimagine how housing is distributed in your community? And a core question of that is, how do we as a community make decisions about that? And so all these different movement assemblies that united across movement sectors coming together into Detroit and having, you know, a prison abolition movement assembly, a housing movement assembly, these are the sort of experiments and growth that are going to lead to our ability to succeed. And so hopefully what we'll see continuing out of this process is more experimentation, more kind of forging into realms and collaboration that we haven't really seen before.
And actually, there was a delegation from Venezuela that came up and actually stayed with us in the house, in the Northwest Coalition's house, just speaking to the idea of experimentation and different forms of things. That was an interesting experience, because Venezuela has gone through a revolution in the past 10 years that has been rather extreme in terms of them restructuring how things work. So having firsthand experiences and discussing the relationship between how we could do things like that here. The People's Movement Assembly was an example of a people's sort of direct democracy in action here in Portland, and the similarities between that and the process down there was interesting to reflect on. So there was points of convergence on many levels.
To piggyback on Will and what he was saying is that we need to revolve. I don't really think we need a revolution. I think we need to evolve. We need an evolution, because when you revolve, you're going back to that spot, and somebody's not going to have, and somebody is going to have. So we need to evolve. Now, people who never faced or dream of facing homelessness or houselessness are facing it now, and it's affecting the spirit-based community. Finding people that were CEOs or nurses or doctors or teachers are now becoming homeless, and we need to get the faith-based community more involved. Just yesterday, a group of brothers and I, we were talking at the mosque on how we can be more seen and get involved in the homeless community, where people are looking for something and they're not receiving the help that they should be getting the help. So we need to get all these groups together and start making more of a cry, making more of speaking out and going to City Hall, and because the government supposed to be for the people, not the people for the government. And what they're doing is fattening their own pockets and contributing to their friends and their buddies instead of contributing to the people who really pay their salary.
So if you're hearing, dear KBOO listener, things that resonate with you, might be a good place to land tomorrow night at Sisters of the Road Cafe, where you can meet other like-minded individuals, other people who are really active in this local and yet global struggle for social justice. 133 Northwest 6th is the address of Sisters of the Road Cafe, and that's tomorrow, August 28th, from 7 till 10 p.m. We're here in the KBOO studios talking with members of the Cascadia Freedom Caravan and members of Right to Survive. We would love to hear from you if you're listening and you have questions, or if you want to comment. Give us a call at 503-232-8818. 231-8187. It's not pledge drive yet. It's coming up, people. Sorry. That was the pledge drive number. And right now we are talking about talking to you. So that's 231-8187. No wonder we haven't heard the phone ring yet. And I do want to let our listeners know that coming up later this morning on KBOO, at 9 o'clock, you're going to hear One Land, Many Voices. The guests are Vivian Sansour, writer and activist who works with empowered fair trade Palestinian farmers, and Jess Ghanem, Palestinian-American doctor and professor who has done extensive humanitarian work in the Gaza Strip. At 10, Air Cascadia features a postcard from Palestine with KBOO News Director Janka Soderberg. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, John Gibler reports on the latest drug cartel violence in Mexico, and a woman who is building an orphanage in Afghanistan talks about the effects of war on children. And at 11, Mark Cullen hosts a pilot edition of Unfettered Thought, the atheist show, for, by, and about non-theists, but open to all. Listener calls are welcome. All right, so that's coming up later on KBOO. Let's go around and get back to that question of media and producing media. How did you guys who are around this table get interested in that as part of the social justice movement, and what do you do with that?
Well, I'm really interested in media, obviously, like as a form of communication, and I'm really fascinated by histories of like oral history and people's ability to speak for themselves. And when you open up those possibilities through digital media and being able to like make them concrete and something that you can like pass on, it really changes the way we view history and our community and reality, because we can know what people's struggles are and know what celebrations are. So I'm really interested in video production, and have been working with the B Media Collective. Part of that organization started as a media arm of the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, with a strong focus on sharing media between Latin America and the United States, and like distributing that back and forth because there's a lot that we can learn from each other. And we also really want to expand that here in our own community. And we've been trying recently to cover a lot of local actions and make those available for people as well. And all of that's available on our website. It's bmediacollective.org, and that's the letter B, Media Collective.
I guess I wanted to talk a little bit about my personal interest in getting involved in more of the video justice side of things really came about from things like YouTube, seeing videos that there's a sort of group of videos called political remix videos that take commercials or mainstream news coverage, and they sort of jam it all together in fancy remixes, sometimes to music. And what these things do is start to expose a lot of the absurd or insidious messaging that is in our everyday lives in the mainstream media. I was very attracted to these things because I was seeing that it was, I think, everyday people that were starting to do these things. I think we all, not all of us, but more and more people are having access now to powerful editing tools and computers that only the corporate media has had access to in the past. And I think that there's more of a democratization of technology, which really allows people to, say what they feel when they're being fed a lot of, advertisements and things like that, that can be quite overwhelming and offensive. I think people are taking it upon themselves now to, critique what the messaging of the airwaves is and come up with something that is often funny and or insightful.
I got involved with the radio because I wanted people to hear the real gory details of the horror stories that's happening in the street, and not nothing that, like Matt said, that's critiqued and you hear on mainstream radio or mainstream television. People are becoming homeless that didn't think they would become homeless, and when they hit the streets, they don't know what to do because in their mind, it's like what Trillium said earlier, that you have this homeless person in urine-drenched clothes to a burning barrel with a wine bottle with their palms up asking for more money so they can get drunk and they don't have no teeth. However tragic that sounds, some ways that's true, but some ways that's not true. And so in order to bring reality, I figure if we can talk to people that's living on the streets and bring it to the airwaves, people can have more of an idea on what's happening in the streets and where their tax money is going. Also, to break a lot of myth about homelessness, about homeless people and why people don't use shelter and what a lot of people are trying to do but they're not allowed to do.
There's a line in Mike Crenshaw's song, actually the Help Me song, that says, what should we do? Community forum, go to a conference, have an event, and he says, that's fine, but I think I want to take direct action. But to me, the best part about that song is that it's a song. It's a rap song. It's a great song. And it's using art. It's using a higher level of communication to talk about these bigger questions. And so, our involvement in media is one element of accessing that higher level of communication that music and art and photos and video and people-to-people faces, which is what you get through media, can deliver. And so it's a democratization desire to bring the media back into the people's hands, but it's also an acknowledgement that we can communicate on higher levels, and that involves, being creative in what we do. And so that's a big element of everything we want to do is share through those higher levels of communication, through art, through music, through video, and through serious political discourse.
I think one thing that the U.S. Social Forum showed was that we don't need political leaders. We don't need experts to solve our problems. We need each other. We need to build relationships of strength and power in our own communities to be able to take back a life and world that has been destroyed by the corporate and state forms of power. And creating community-based media is a key step in that, because if we're not able to represent ourselves, then someone else is going to represent us for us. And we use media to not only create relationships, but to create action. So, for example, B Media came out when Reclaim and Right to Survive put on a tent city on May Day, and they filmed the whole thing. They got interviews with people who had been on the street. They had interviews with people as to why they would sleep out in front of an abandoned school on 12th and Stark, and more importantly, why the city would keep that building empty when there were people that were sleeping on the street every night. And, you know, we know in our groups that BMeet is going to be there in the future, that they have our backs, that when we're doing housing occupations, when we're doing takeovers, they're going to be there at the barricades, at the blockades. They're going to be there throughout the whole thing. And those relationships of solidarity are what is going to empower our movements to take it to the next level.
All right. Well said. Now, I want to welcome, we have another guest in the studio here at KBOO Radio. We have a live guest, Monica Beamer, who's come in. Sisters of the Road, welcome.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks welcome, so much. Welcome. So we saw Monica Beamer when we were in Detroit, and Monica was really instrumental in setting up housing for members of Right to Survive so that they could participate, and in the Poverty People's Movement Assembly and other things. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your experiences.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to spend the morning with you here and talk about the social forum and all the amazing work that everybody's doing in their communities. So, it was wonderful to support you all in being there. I feel it's super important and central that everyone be able to participate. And when you have to travel far, that means that we all help each other out. So that's really important. And I know that the Poverty Working Group helped to bring about 600 poor people to the social forum, and I know there were many, many more people. So those voices and the stories and what's happening in the communities and just telling the truth about what's happening and learning from each other and building the relationships of solidarity is just essential to the movement that's being built. So I'm really happy we could all do that together, and excited about the energy that's building here and the connections and supporting all the different fronts and connecting the dots of all of the different movements and bringing them together to tell the truth about what's happening and what needs to happen next.
That's beautiful. It's really inspiring to even look at the list of organizations on your flyer from, and I know that's actually not the comprehensive list of all the things that people who are on the Cascadia Freedom Caravan do in our communities. But at the report back, that's going to be taking place at Sisters of the Road Cafe, which has been just a hub of activity, I have to say. Amazing events going on at Sisters of the Road all the time. But tomorrow, specifically August 28th from 7 till 10, you can come down to 133 Northwest 6th and for this multimedia presentation report back where members of PCASC, Rising Tide, Oregon Jericho, Right to Survive, Jobs with Justice, B Media, Sisters of the Road, the Rural Organizing Project, Cascadia Freedom Caravan, and the People's Movement Assemblies will be there to continue to get to know each other better and share information as well as media. So please do come. I believe we have a caller on the line, and it is Joanne. Welcome to Morning Talk Radio, Joanne.
Yeah, hello. I just want to say it's good to hear everybody on the air since I don't use the computer. My question is coming from a personal place in life that I don't like. But anyway, the people, you folks and all the other people you work with nationwide and that, do you folks generally have good health and good energy? I haven't had that for too long, so I guess that's why I'm asking it. And as I said, I'm glad to hear you on. I'm glad for your work, but I do want to say you are privileged to be able to do it, and I am glad you're doing it. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanne, and you sound really great today. I think that's a great question for people to address. How do we stay healthy when we're doing this really serious work that sometimes can, you know, take a lot of energy out of us? How do you do it?
Well, I sent out an email once about telling people just because you see someone in the limelight don't mean it's easy. It's a stressful job. So I rely on the grace and mercy of Allah, and plus now my newfound diet, vegetables, lots of vegetables.
I just want to invite everyone down to the cafe for a great meal. At Sisters, we do organizing work, but we also have an amazing cafe where food is $1.25 or 15 minutes of barter work. And if you don't have either, we have ways to make sure everyone gets a great meal, always a vegetarian choice. And we're working hard on the organic and local. It's very good. So, and then you can hear about what's happening and build community with each other, but invite everyone down. The cafe helps to feed me and make sure that I'm on the I'm feeling good. So I welcome everyone down there.
All right. Rio, you want to add something?
I think the one thing that's really important in doing organizing work is at this point, there is always much more work than there is hands. And so it's just important to step back and to remember to take care of your health and to take care of the health of your friends. And if that can happen and we can be there for each other, then hopefully like the movement will only continue to grow stronger. But that's always a really important thing to remember.
Mm-hmm. And garden. You should garden.
Actually, it's important to mention that during the Allied Media Conference, there was a disability justice tract within it. And this was a whole segment of workshops of folks who experience both chronic health problems and what could be called disabilities, but they called their abilities, because it was celebrating how all of us are able to contribute to movements. And not all of us are young, able-bodied, 20-something people. Some of us are, but that is not going to be what our movements are. And so paying attention to how we take care of each other, how we're able to reproduce our community's health and well-being, is definitely becoming a central part of what we call movements these days. And Detroit really showed us that.
I would just add on that note, the disability justice track and the speaker that addressed that at the opening and closing, I think was probably one of the most inspiring segments for me at the Allied Media Conference. But I thought that was really, really important element to add to our movements and to be conscious of, that sometimes isn't talked about quite as much.
Yeah, that was really inspiring to be at the Allied Media Conference. And again, models that we can take back into our own communities. I mean, really some things I saw there as well I hadn't seen anywhere else, the complexity of that organizing and the different experiences that were brought together. Thank you for sharing about that. We are getting towards the end of our hour, so I want to give each person an opportunity to bring things into the conversation that you haven't yet been able to bring up, or say a few last things. I know that Monica's got a piece of paper sitting in front of her. I'm pretty sure she has some organizing here to do.
Yeah, there's a couple of invitations for everyone to come down on September 1st. The OPAL Environmental Justice Oregon and several different groups are doing Rally for the Bus Riders Unite, and asking the TriMet directors to develop a plan to restore bus service. They had a statistic in here that there have been, let's see, where is it? I'll have to find it. Anyway, lots of cuts, 70%, TriMet bus service, and the fare increase of 70% over the last 10 years. So we need to make sure and support that. Come down from 4 to 6, Wednesday, September 1st, to City Hall, and join us. And I think the last thing I would just say is that we do have lots of talks at Sisters of the Road about how best to use our energies to create what needs to happen now. Is it rallies? Is it working on building the movement? Is it working on legislation? But I think that what's really important is that we do work together and build relationship, and that we document when we ask for something, when it doesn't happen, so that we are all taking note and knowing that what is not going right is a systemic problem, and we can continue to build our strategies together and put our energies in the best place.
Yeah.
One thing that was really inspiring about the social forum for me was that it wasn't just like a conference. It was so multifaceted, and there were so many levels of ways that you can engage and participate. And I know that there was a lot of people experienced, everyone on the caravan experienced the Allied Media Conference and the Social Forum and their whole trip in Detroit in a completely different way. and we all had the ability to share that together. But I know people who went really far to get to Detroit, and they hardly went to any of the actual workshops. But they were so engaged with what was going on there because there was work parties, there was tours around the city, there was people that were there for like months beforehand, like working with organizations to set up projects that would be going on that people could participate in during the social forum. And the whole city of Detroit was just alive and vibrant. And it was really great to see all of that movement. And hopefully all of those people took that buzz and that energy back with them to wherever they were going. And I know that we have, and hopefully that we can share that with people at the report back, and that it'll be part of an ongoing dialogue. And I would say that for anybody who didn't have the opportunity or the privilege to go to Detroit because it's far away from Portland, being able to go to the report back, I think, will be an opportunity to plug into that dialogue and take that back here to Portland.
We have about 3 minutes, so you guys have something you'd like to add or some words, an address?
I would just like to throw out the B-Media website address again. That's bmediacollective.org. That's B-M-E-D-I-A collective, C-O-L-L-E-C-T-I-V-E.org. If people want to check that out, we've got some locally produced pieces on Portland and a bunch of stuff from Detroit that sort of chronicles some of the bus journey out there, as well as some of the environmental disaster sites, such as the pit at Butte, Montana, one of the largest strip mines in North America, and its effect on local communities there.
As well as the voices of people in Detroit that we met there. So.
Yeah. I would like to throw a plug in for to listen on Right to Survive Radio every second Wednesday of the month, and it's going to be September 8th, 6 p.m. through 7 p.m., and you can also visit our website at righttosurvivewordpress.com. That's right, R-I-G-H-T, the number 2, and survive.wordpress.com. And I like to tell people that you missed a great event, because when we went to Detroit, the social forum, it was people that would never speak to me or I would never speak to, and we found some type of commonality to figure out. We know it's a problem. Now what to do about that.
All right, and I think people are going to be able to hear some clips from Right to Survive Radio at the Report Back, which is taking place tomorrow. That is Saturday, August 28th, from 7 till 10 p.m. at Sisters of the Road, 133 Northwest 6th. And we have one caller. We're going to squeeze in, caller, but we have about 30 seconds, Bill, so I'm going to get Amy Goodman on you. Keep it real brief.
Okay, hey, thank you, Trillia. Good job. Feed your brothers and sisters. And if you do end up homeless, carry some food with you. Take care of everybody and just look out for one another. God bless.
Thank you, Bill. That's what we're talking about, taking care of our community here on KBOO 90.7. That's one of our values. And we're so happy you joined us this morning, everyone in the studio. This early, early morning shows the commitment that we have in our movement to keep it going. You know, I saw you all out there late representing last night, and you're up again this morning to share your experiences, and you'll be at Sisters of the Road Cafe tomorrow at 7 o'clock to share your experiences. Again, if you haven't been to Sisters of the Road Cafe, like Monica was saying, you can go down there and get a meal, and you don't need to have a dime in your pocket when you walk in the door. You can clean a toilet. You can do much different. Actually, that's my preferred barter trade. I find it satisfying. I'm sorry. I don't want to scare people away. They have awesome food and many different tasks you can do, or you can use your food stamp card down there as well.